Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent, and I'm here with my good friend Alan, and we want to encourage you to endure in the ministry place that God has for you. And Alan, I know that we've both been through all kinds of stuff, just like everyone else has. Recently, the weather, before that, COVID. And so we thought last year was hell, and now hell freezed over.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that here I was in Colorado, and we had a little bit of snow on Sunday, but not enough to have to do our parking lots or anything. I haven't plowed my parking lots in 2 years. And then I saw pictures from Austin, Texas of churches, you know, plowing out their parking lots so they can have services and stuff. And I'm just like, man, what kind of world am I living in? I don't ever get enough snow to do anything with. And there in South Texas, they're starting to get snow. But yeah. Anyhow. We'll find someone to blame for that, I'm sure, as it goes along. But we know we're starting to get into the point where that's when the Dallas Cowboys are going to win a Super Bowl. So
when hell freezes over,
yeah. So anyway, well, you know, Trent, we've all been affected. You know, like you said, in this last year, and you know, at least the weather changes. The COVID thing just seems to march on and march on and march on and keep going. And I don't know, you know, we were talking before this, you feel like it's changed you a little bit. I know it's changed me. I mean, I'm a different person now than I was before. And I've been trying to figure out what that really means and what that looks like. Our the COVID rate in our state is really, really dropped. I mean, we're in the low threes now as far as our percentages, which means a lot of things can actually start working back into what we would say is semi-normal. I don't think it's a new normal. We're not going backwards. It's going to be a new normal, whatever it is going forward. Right. And I've been trying to figure out why certain things have been harder and what's changed in me and how am I going to move forward? And a few weeks ago, the whole idea of, I wonder if I've become addicted to my house. And being home has had a huge influence on how I'm different today, because I've been home a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. and it probably has changed me a little bit.
Well, I wonder, you mentioned that being addicted to your house, and the thing that came to mind was, is it agoraphobia, that is the fear of the outside?
Fear of crowds. Yeah.
And so I wonder if that has increased a whole lot, you know, that we still have people, just as I'm sure you do, most churches do, that have not come back, and are still worried about that. And some have changed as they've gotten their vaccines and things like that. But I do think that there are a lot of people that have just grown accustomed at least to being in their home all the time.
Yeah. And I was just, you know, I was trying to think through that and why is that? So we wanted to have a conversation about it, because I think this has kind of been it's been a good process for me to learn how I'm different. I mean, I'm not as extroverted as I once was on the other side of this. I find myself enjoying my solitude a little more, and maybe it's because that was always there and I just never had a chance to do it. But I recognize that there's some things that I'm coming out of this a little bit different, and hopefully I'll be better. You know, that was one of the things we talked about early on in the pandemic. How when we get through this, how are we going to be better people? But, right. You know, even the nature of ministry's changed, and what used to drive us and what we used to spend all our time doing, it's all been turned upside down. I spend a lot more time on screen time. And that's probably the first thing that began to change me, was all the screen time. I mean, how much time do you spend doing screen stuff or thinking about, you know, your live stream and all this stuff versus what you did before?
Yeah, more of our time was taken up prior to COVID, actually being with people and talking to them. And now, I don't know about you, Alan, but if you have an iPhone, mine, I get this, and it seems like it's always right at praise team practice time on Sunday mornings that it tells me my screen time for the week on Sunday morning. And it's kind of depressing, you know, as I look at that, and it's more for sure. So you're right.
Yeah, I think, and again, we've gotten used to getting in front of cameras and talking to cameras, not getting the same amount of feedback because pre-recording or live streaming or all those things. And we were used to feedback. We were used to looking around at people, and now we're used to maybe looking at ourselves and preaching to ourselves almost. It's different. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that probably changes the nature of our ministry, probably changes how we think about preaching. You know, someone came to our church. I was having a meeting talking with the great copy machine thing, trying to figure out where to go with our copy machine. Yep. And their first question, just like everyone else, well, what do you guys run? Good question. You know, we kind of track it. It used to be it's just not as big of a metric for us right now. I mean, it probably should be, maybe it should be, but there's not a super effective way for tracking your online people. And we know we've got a handful of people who are just staying online for now. And that's just how it is. And so we don't know. We're trying to track all the other metrics to keep up with stuff, but it's just how that is, right?
Yeah. I agree. And I think that a lot of churches are changing the way that they measure things, just because if you just focus on numbers, it can be really depressing, honestly, because a lot of us as ministers, a lot of our self-worth, and it shouldn't be this way. I'm just going to be upfront. It shouldn't be this way, but we do place a lot of our self-worth based on how many people are in our churches, because that's when you get a bunch of preachers together, they talk about that, you know, and so we worry about that. But I think a lot of people have changed what they look at. We have to, just out of self-preservation.
Yeah, and I think 90% of our churches are probably going to be a little bit smaller after all this. It's just what it is. They're going to be the outliers. They're going to be the churches where, you know, you had three churches in a town and two of them just didn't survive the pandemic, and so the third church grows or whatever. You're going to see some of those. Mm-hmm. But those are going to be more of the outliers. Your casual attenders, they're gone, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to build ministry into those areas. And you need to be ready for that. You need to be prepared for that. But, you know, I will say this, Trent, I think the home time in a lot of ways has been a blessing. I mean, I'm not bitter about the time I've been able to spend at home. There's fewer distractions for me when I'm working from home.
Yeah, that's right. The interruptions that, that's why I would go in early in my office a lot of times, just because I knew nobody would be at the church and I'd actually be able to get something done. Or have to lock my door, which I hate to do that. I'm too social. I like people. But you're right. There's less interruptions. And those interruptions, just as I said, those can isolate us. But this time has given us. And, you know, it made me think about the scripture that says, God says, be still and know that I'm God. I feel like God's been trying to get our attention and have us spend more time with him than worrying about the stresses of life and church.
Yeah, I think it's kind of been that kind of give and take, right? I mean, the cool part about being home, like there's just less interruptions. And I'm like you, you know, if you give me all my books, and let me open them, and then if someone says, hey, can we just sit down and talk or have a cup of coffee, or, you know, hey, I'm just dropping in, I need to drop something off, I'll follow them and talk and see how everything's going on, because that's a whole lot more fun in my mind than studying. And I know not every pastor's that way, but for me, that's typically how I've been. And so to not have those interruptions is great. Mm-hmm. And of course, anytime I get the quiet time in my office, that's when the sales calls come. And they know that. They know when your quiet time, they know when us pastors have our study time and this and that, and that's when they're going to call. And so I don't have those interruptions, you know, even if you don't answer it, it's still ringing and it's a distraction, you know, so you have that. But then what there are is we find more interruptions that, like you talk about isolating us. So there's more things at home that can make you feel, that you can interrupt your life with to kind of isolate you. You know, it's just easy to kind of hunker down all the time and say, I'm not going to go do that. I can do it from here.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of different that way. That kind of leads us to the ministry side, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's easier for us to, instead of going and seeing someone, we just send a text or, you know, just checking on people. But We do get in kind of a rhythm of ministry, you know, a day, you know, we've talked about this in some of our podcasts before about having a schedule and breaking our days up into three sections and all that stuff. But this whole year has changed all of that. And so it's hard for us to get back into that rhythm. Before we started recording today, Alan and I were talking about that I was feeling like I was getting back into a rhythm. And then the storms of this last week locked us back in the house for a week. And so it's like, I'm never going to get back into a rhythm.
Yeah. You know, I had that same thing. I had a surgical procedure a few weeks ago, and that kind of put me down for a few weeks, a couple of weeks. And I got so far off rhythm, you know, my staff's like, dude, we need you, you know, and just because I was out of rhythm, you know, it's not that I wasn't there, but I wasn't there when I was normally there because I was out of rhythm, you know, and I was thinking about basketball shooters, you know, and, you know, a shooter wants to take a shot in rhythm. You know, I enjoy watching basketball, and you can tell when a guy's not shooting in rhythm. You know, there's a little hitch in their shot, and there can be a little hitch in your ministry. And we're all okay with a week that gets messed up. Like, it won't take long to recover from the weather aspect of your rhythm being interrupted. But we're on a year of being out of rhythm, so we've lost our rhythm. I mean, we just have. No one has that same rhythm. You don't have that same routine. You don't have that same flow to your life. And you've got to recreate a rhythm. And I will tell you, that's hard. Ask a basketball shooter how easy it is to find your rhythm when you're in a shooting slump. It's not easy, but guess what they do? They keep shooting. You never break out of a slump by not shooting. You have to shoot your way through it.
Same thing is true of golfers. You know, you'll see a guy who was doing so great being the PGA championship or whatever. And then he just, something happens. He, you know, some, maybe an injury that causes him to change things a little bit. And so it's true of ministry and ministers too. And some of the things that affect us is that we do kind of keep people at an arm's distance. Maybe it's fear of people. If we're trying to stay well so that we can continue to do ministry, we keep people at an arm's distance. And I'm a hugger, man. It's a struggle for me. And so that throws my whole rhythm off. And, you know, what do you do? I can't even handshake people sometimes. And I'm thankful for those people that just walk up and stick their hand out. But then there's always that thought in the back of your mind. It's like, should I,
absolutely. That's something that you have to think through, and it affects you. You start to go up to someone, then you're like, whoa, I shouldn't invade space, and you're backing up. I mean, think about some things that have changed. You're probably not taking up passing plates in your church, in most churches, you know, we've got offering boxes now, and you know, we did communion this past Sunday, and we had people hand out or set them on tables, actually set those little into so people could grab one without having to touch any other one, you know, so you had someone set them out with gloves and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you just think about all those things and you think, man, that's like changed everything. And every week someone comes in and goes, I'm just tired of this. You know, they're coming in a mask and tired of these masks. And I've even might've been guilty of saying that a time or two. And you notice that your people have a short temper, and you probably have a little bit of a shorter temper than you normally have. I mean, it's just true.
Yeah, that's true. You see it, and not just in church, but you see it throughout our culture now. Go to the store and people seem angry, and then they're covered up with masks, and so all you can see is their eyes, and they look angry. You know, they drive angry, they text angry. People are just angry.
Yeah, angry eyebrows. I think that was an old VeggieTale thing or something like that. But yeah, the angry eyebrows. You can certainly see them, and I'm certainly certain that I've demonstrated some of mine from time to time. You know, and then I don't think people just have a short temper. I also think that us as ministers, but even some of our volunteers, there's just more frustration right now if you're called on for extra. Mm-hmm. You know, you used to just flow. You used to take that as a given that, you know, extra duties as required. you know, and all of a sudden there's just more frustration that flows from when you have to do something that's you've not had to do in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That, you know, when you're angry to begin with, it doesn't take much asked of you extra to push you over the edge. And, you know, the good principle to remember, especially in ministry, is that the issue is rarely the issue. When people are upset, angry, there's a whole lot more going on than what has, it's just taken that one little thing to push them over the edge, but they were so close to begin with. And so, you know, try not to take it personal. It's hard not to take it personal, though.
Yeah. So one of the rhythms that you have to recapture is the rhythm of love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be able to get used to loving on people, finding new ways to, you know, to express that caring and loving and the attitude that you have for those folks, too.
Yeah. Air hugs just aren't the same, are they, Trent?
No.
There's another term and through all this that I can do away with, air hug.
Well, and so, you know, we're talking about getting back into a rhythm, and so let's talk about some of the positives. How do we do that?
This is kind of, how do you break the house addiction, so to speak? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, so, you know, I create a better schedule. I think that's the first thing. Try to find a schedule that works. You know, you and I, you know, we've kind of gotten into a rhythm too with our podcast. We for the most part try to block off Tuesday mornings, you know, as a podcast recording time. And So I tag that with a day at home, working from home, knowing that I'm going to work from home. But I have a schedule, you know, that when it comes to the office time, I try to spend at least 2 days in the office every week, 2 days at home every week, just to kind of have that rhythm and everything. What about you? What are you doing with your schedule?
Well, yeah, I guess I've told myself that it's okay to have a different schedule every day. And honestly, that's what I love about my job and my ministry, is that it's not the same. I'm rarely scheduled, you know, but I try to set aside certain things. The best thing for me is that I've learned to communicate better to my staff, and especially to my secretary, to say, hey, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm doing. And that helps me to kind of keep that connection and keep that rhythm.
Yeah, I think it's good to have people who you can talk to about that. You know, I think that's kind of where that struggle is communicating with one another. You know, we've had a lot of conversations just among our staff about how we communicate, and every single one of us has had communication breakdowns in regards to our schedule, because it has been so helter-skelter. But the more staff you have, the more accountability there has to be for that time. And you do have to remember that is important. People need to know where you're at in case you are needed. And we've gotten used to maybe not being needed enough, and we are needed, and we need to be available. That is ministry. Ministry is availability. Yeah. So you want to do that. But, you know, one of the cool parts about my house addiction has been the time I've had to rethink what outreach looks like. And I think that's been a lot of fun and a good exercise for me. And we've talked a lot. Outreach is different based on your context. And too many people want to buy something from someone and try to plug and play it, and it doesn't work in their context, because outreach is always context oriented.
You're right, Alan. I have to tell you, there's a pastor here in our area up at Fair Baptist. His name is Sean. He's a great young pastor, and they're capitalizing on the history that COVID has done. A year ago, they had their first drive-in church deal, first drive-in church Sunday, and they decided that, you know, hey, that was a cruddy thing then, but our people kind of enjoyed it, and so we're going to do it again. We're going to make it an annual thing to have drive-in church. And so they're doing it again this next Sunday. They're having drive-in church. And so, yeah, you're right. There's some creativity that comes with this. And I think it's a good thing. You know,
Yeah.
We got to have our Valentine dinner this past Sunday. And even with the storm, you know, pushing it back a week and COVID, we had to do things, spread things out a little bit more. We still got to do some fun things. So there's still possibilities.
Yeah, Trent, you know, I think one of the things we're going to see in outreach is that events have moved from a bigger thing to a smaller thing. I think that keeping events smaller and more intimate is going to put people at ease. And I think that's a big part of rethinking this whole outreach mindset is trying to think smaller and do more things. We're going to teach our whole church to do block parties and try to buy some things that we can have on hand to help support and promote block parties and get our people into our communities. I think that's going to be something that's exciting.
Yeah, we're getting ready to go on a mission trip to a church plant in Phoenix. And that's what we're going to focus on the whole time we're there is block parties, just, you know, individual little parties in front of people's homes that already go to that church just to help them to outreach. And so you're right. Things will look differently.
So, yeah, I find that exciting.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that there's a lot of possibilities that it brings up.
So the next thing we want to talk about too is when you're scheduling your time, if you can't be in person yet and you can't do more things in person, at least make some phone calls. Put that as part of your routine is to get outside your own head and to talk with other people.
Yeah, there are still a lot of people that need to be checked on that. And so texts and phone calls, I find myself doing that a whole lot at the dinner table or even just as I get home, I'll be thinking, and I take that as a Holy Spirit prompting that when God places somebody on my mind, then I need to follow through and either call them, text them, just let them know that I'm thinking about them. And that helps me to continue to stay thinking about ministry.
So one of the other things, Trent, that we have in here is to make your church facility a shared space to recognize that people might be addicted to their home. There are people in your church who, you know, they're working from home and this is a new dynamic for them and their life has changed and their world is upside down and the kids are there and their stress is there and they need somewhere to go to get away from the stress. Guess what you have that's not being used in many cases 5-6 days a week.
Right. That you've got these edifices that are there sitting there and you might as well use them. So you can invite people. Maybe they need to have a place to do a Zoom meeting or something like that. And you can provide, say, hey, come to our church. We'll set up a backdrop and you can use our Wi-Fi. And give you an opportunity just to get a different place. Bring your laptop and it'll all be good. This last week during the storms, we had the opportunity to open up our church to people to get water and to take showers. And so that was a good opportunity for us to minister to people with a real need.
Yeah, a lot of churches were warming centers where the cold was really bad, and I think that's great. You know, churches do a good job. You know, in disaster times, you know, we'll be relief centers, areas to receive items. We do a lot of those things, and then I think hopefully that kind of flows over into kind of our ongoing plans and our ongoing activities. You know, I find myself encouraging our leadership for our church to think more and more about how do we leverage our property. You know, we're blessed. We have 26 acres of land. Some of that belongs to this little mouse that scurries about, but we have all this land. We'd put in 9 holes for disc golf. You know, we want our community to come out and play disc golf on our property. We've got a pavilion area. We'll use that for services outside sometimes when the weather's nice. We've got all these things and we want our community to use them. And I've been talking to our church too about, okay, we always think on the inside part, but how do we leverage this outside part? Because we don't have to be there for people to know that they can come use it. And you know what, if one of our church members says to a friend, hey, I'm tired of hanging out, but we can go hang out at the church. Let's go up there. that's going to help break down barriers and help break down walls of people who want to come and be a part of our church. And so I think those are great. Find ways to use your space to bless your community. I think that's something that I hope we recognize is a big part of what we need to do.
I think you're right, Alan. That makes me think of years ago when I was doing college ministry, and the BSM building, that was, or BCM building, was the place where the kids wanted to come hang out. Make your church the place where people want to come hang out, not just on Sunday mornings at 11 or whenever your worship time is. Set aside some other times for people to have a safe place that they know that they can come and be, and whether it's outside or inside, both of those are great. We have a big playground area at our church that we made safe. It's fenced in for people, so we could open that up and say, hey, this is going to be open on these days. Bring your kids over and use that space. As we end this time, Alan, I want us to, I guess, remember what you put in our note to begin with, that we all have this addiction to being at home. We've got our house addiction, but don't be frustrated with your church people or other people who don't show up for events and different things, that don't show up for church, recognizing that they're dealing with that same addiction. And it's going to take a while to get past that. And so we have to show grace and mercy in that.
Yeah, and remember, and you're looking at someone and they're not as far along in the recovery as you are, I give them a little grace and latitude, because there were people who were over it before it ever began in your church too, you mm-hmm. know, and you need to, they were gracious with you. You need to be gracious to them. And we need to work through this together. It has changed us. And I think we need to acknowledge how we're different, but different doesn't have to mean worse or anything like that. Different can be better. And that's certainly the hope. That's where we want to see you go, is we want to help you get better through this so that our churches are more effective. And I know that we are coming through just, it seems like it's just been depressing story after depressing story after depressing story. But we're here to encourage you. I still believe that the church represents the hope for the world in preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we ever want to see a country turn its heart to God, if we ever want to see a world turn its heart to God, it begins with what takes place in the local church, not what takes place in government agencies or our hospitals or any place else. It begins in the church. And that's why we want to encourage you and your church to endure. Don't forget, we've got some things going on, Trent. We've got a giveaway going on. What's that all about?
Yeah, we're giving a book away right now. It's called Replenish, Leading from a Healthy Soul. And so if you will contact us through our Facebook page or at enduringchurches.com, you can let us know that you're interested in being a part of that, or contact us to get more info about having a consultation. Alan and I would love to get to visit with you by phone or even coming to where you are and just helping you to look through or work through some issues and maybe giving you some new possibilities for ministry in your community. So just contact us. We'd love to put you in the drawing for that book.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear from you. And maybe you have some other, we'd love to help you in any other way. If you're part of a church, let's say you're without a pastor, we'd love to talk with you. Oh, with your search team about how you can go about taking a good process and a healthy process and hiring a pastor. We can offer your church a consultation. There's several things that we can do to walk alongside you and your church. So don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our website, our Facebook page, Alan at enduringchurches.consulting, Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. We can't wait to hear from you. And we know that as you work through your house addiction, that it's just going to increase your God addiction and your reliance on Him. So thanks for tuning in with us today, and we look forward to catching you next week. Dip, 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 dip. Thank you.